Hi, this is Michael Riversong from the 2006 Extraordinary Technology Conference. And we're here tonight with Jeffrey Hayes. He's done a lot of work with Tesla turbines, and so we're going to find out what he's experienced with those and what their significance is. So, Jeff, what do you see as the main significance of Tesla turbines as a technology?
Well, the main significance is a complete reversal of our current paradigm, where we think we have to have high fuel consumption. We only need to get approximately 35 miles per gallon fleet average on our automobiles, and that's pretty easy to do. And we're in the clear. We're back on completely being independent and being completely off of foreign oil, which I think would be a national priority at this point.
That sounds like it would be, you'd think. Now, the Tesla turbine, as I understand it, is pretty efficient. How do you envision these being used in the context of an automobile?
Well, Volvo gave us a great gift in that they actually built a hybrid that was very close to the Tesla spec. And as a result, there has been no other better hybrid since it. And I hope they do start using the complete Tesla system, which would involve using the Tesla turbine as the engine. The Volvo was quite significant, and it was built to try to meet the 2% zero emissions mandate that California later relinquished on. So the car was never actually put into production, but it was also very expensive because of the turbine technology. The turbine is a wonderful device, the blade type everyone's familiar with, but those same blades that give it its characteristics also make it a very dangerous and fragile and expensive device. The Tesla turbine has taken the turbine and turned it right on its ear, because now you have a turbine that has no blades. The blades have been eliminated. Instead, in its place are put smooth, flat discs, which have even better aerodynamic characteristics than do blades. Although counterintuitive, flat discs work better than blades. Also, they don't have all the fragility, and now you have a flywheel. The only engine that's also a flywheel. So your battery is also now part of your engine. They're actually integral.
Because the flywheel basically can charge the battery as kind of a side effect to what it's doing?
Well, the flywheel can at least store energy. And we know that the Tesla turbine gets much more efficient the higher the speed. Into the low power ranges, the Tesla turbine can be upwards of 99 plus efficient, which is absolutely unheard of, but not so much today. The bladeds have gotten better, but in Tesla's time, no bladed turbine could touch it. Now bladed turbines have matched the efficiency of the Tesla turbine, but they certainly haven't matched the applicability.
I see. That's interesting, because that's what people are saying when it's used primarily in firefighting applications these days.
As a pump used primarily by large industries such as the oil companies, it's proven itself beyond a doubt. It's been declared the hands-down winner, the very finest pump available for any money. It is able to do things that no other pump is able to do. It can pump solids, liquids, and gases simultaneously, all without damage. And it's saved hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars per pump per year in applications. Also, the bladed pumps in those applications, as they deteriorate, their efficiency goes down to the point where it's no longer economic to use them and they must be replaced. The Tesla turbine, on the other hand, is as good the last day out of service as the first day in, as far as efficiency goes. Same goes for the turbine when used in steam applications. Steam turbines are extremely fragile, very, shall we say, breakable. They can very easily, just by a little bit of water being allowed to condense in their structure, be completely wrecked. They can't tolerate water in any way, and temperature regulation is number one job for bladed turbines and critical applications. They just have to be watched. Now you know why you don't want one in your car. The Tesla turbine is the only turbine that self-regulates its speed. On a bladed turbine, if you have a load and it's not, and its corresponding fuel is not reduced, and in other words, you take the load off and leave the fuel on, the turbine will scream into an explosion.
Wow.
So it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I could see where that would be. The first time I saw Tesla turbine was an application where it was a demo unit built by, I believe, Jerry Labine out in California. And this unit was capable of pumping water through plastic pipes and then through out of a tank. You know, it was all one contained unit. And these pipes contained a whole bunch of party beads. Now normally, and I know this from having some experience with water and wastewater treatment, you can't do that with a regular pump. You have something the size of party beads, like those necklaces they throw down in New Orleans.
Right.
And you get that in water and try to pump it, you're going to have a mess on your hands.
Right. You're going to have a real mess on your hands.
Whereas this thing was just totally smooth in its operation.
It will pump solids and liquids and gases all with no problem and without cavitation. One of the main problems for conventional pumps is called cavitation. Whenever you draw water through a pump, you form a vacuum on the inlet and a high pressure zone at the periphery, the outlet. And this vacuum causes fluids to boil at temperatures they wouldn't normally boil at. So especially if it's something that has what they call a high vapor pressure, like gasoline, or something even more volatile, the pumps just can absolutely not pump them, because they'll completely boil in the pump and go into a condition called cavitation, which is an implosion force that gives you forces greater than that seen on the sun itself as far as temperatures and pressures. So you can see you don't want to do this. They're just little microbursts. That's why we don't have more of a problem with them, but they can cause tremendous damage, and they'll eat eventually through any propeller. And so all bladed turbines are fragile that must be maintained to even stay in service. The Tesla turbine, on the other hand, Tesla said, was a veriest of novices, deconstructed and reconstructed, which we proved at the conference recently, bringing our demos in. It can be easily constructed from a few, men carrying in a few batches of pieces into a full-blown working turbine, all without critical adjustment. That's unheard for a bladed turbine. Certainly a large bladed turbine with high horsepower like a Tesla turbine is capable of.
I see, yeah. I've known cavitation to completely collapse pipes in some cases. I mean, it's something that water and wastewater treatment operators have to watch out for constantly. And of course they have different systems, elaborate valves to prevent it. And they have to make sure the right valve is shut off at the right time or turned on at the right time, depending on how the system's used.
Inevitably wrecks pumps.
Yep, inevitably. That's true. And yeah, it's a big expense. And I also know from recent journals that the water and wastewater industry is in a lot of trouble because there's a lot of equipment out there that has to be replaced, and they don't have any way to raise the money to do that. It sounds like the Tesla turbine might have a lot of applications in there because of the situations going on, since it seems like they're a little cheaper to build in some ways.
Well, the problem is that the city is not in the habit of building their own pumps. They go out and they get bidding on the most affordable pumps, depending, especially if they're in bad financial condition to begin with. They typically wouldn't pay the extra money that it takes, and they don't have the knowledge to do the simple conversion.
I think the extra money is probably just a function of the fact that the Tesla turbines currently aren't being manufactured in mass, and if we had mass production on them, the cost would probably go down to be equivalent eventually.
Sure, but there's only one supplier at this time, real supplier, maybe a few, maybe three if you count Europe, but certainly nothing that's going to bring the price down. The thing is, it's a specialized application, and to get that to change and make people think in the long term instead of the short, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, we hope that things like this interview program will get more people aware of the problem in engineering applications. And of course, I always like to say, we need young people coming in and working on these things because they don't know it can't be done.
Yeah, that's true. They, you know, it's, I guess the attitudes have to change. If they're set attitudes, they aren't going to change until the set is gone.
What are some of your favorite experiences with Tesla turbines that you'd like to share with everybody here?
My favorite experiences with a Tesla turbine? Well, it's not like I use them for entertainment devices, but I mean, it is satisfying to see the turbine you've designed get put together, pieces manufactured, it all coming together, fitting perfectly, putting it together, and turning on the air supply and having the thing hum up to operational speed. That's kind of exciting.
I can see where there'd be a lot of satisfaction in that, and hopefully we'll find some more people who see the purpose in that, and we'll see more spread of these Tesla turbines in the future. Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for your time here, and hope things...
We barely scratched the surface.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, the Tesla turbine, you might want to know, can run on half water.
Half water? You mean putting water into the engine that spins the turbine?
Right, into your fuel, actually.
Uh-huh.
Actually, you'd have a tank for water and a tank for whatever else. It'll run any kind of petroleum distillate because it is a turbine. It has all the good burning characteristics of any turbine, which means you can burn virtually any fuel, except bladed turbines can't burn virtually any fuel if the fuel will contaminate the blades. The bladed turbine can burn clean kerosene, gasoline, diesel, etc., but nothing that is going to... If it's going to impact, not burn completely into very small particulates or gases that the bladed turbine can handle, it cannot handle that fuel. The Tesla turbine is unique, and it's the only turbine that can ingest raw biogas into its bowels and not be damaged.
Well, again, in the water and wastewater treatment industry, which I keep coming back to in my thinking about this, obviously, that would be very valuable. Because again, you have situations where in a sewage treatment plant in particular, you got a lot of biogas running around.
Yeah, the intelligent thing to do would be to switch over to bladeless pumping. And you can find out more at teslaengine.org if you really are curious. Set you up with something.
Yeah, thanks for that reference, because that's teslaengine.org. And that's your site, right?
That's the Tesla Engine Builders Association site, which I'm... affiliated with, right?
Oh, I see, yeah. Okay, well, hopefully we'll have some people check that reference. Do you have some other references on the web that you think would be appropriate?
Well, just do a search for Tesla engine, Tesla turbine, and you'll come across all kinds of interesting things. But take it all with a grain of salt. Don't forget to reference Tesla as the real final word. A lot of things are said that may not necessarily be completely in line with reality.
You were mentioning the Volvo turbine a little earlier. Do you have some more details on that?
Yes, the Volvo ECC is an interesting concept. As I told you, it was the only true hybrid in Tesla's vision built, or the closest anyway. In 1900, Tesla suggested that the hybrid is the way to go. As a matter of fact, he insisted on it, and he was lambasted in the popular press at the time, called a complete ununderstanding fool. How could it possibly be possible that you would generate power in an engine, put it through an electric motor, and then drive electric motors? How could that possibly be efficient? And he was laughed at until it was, you know, undeniably proven, and then they had to eat crow.
Interesting. Yeah, that was an aspect of Tesla's work that I'm not as familiar with. So,
but Volvo did build a car that got 45 miles per gallon, and they didn't have to build a car. They already had the car. They simply retrofitted their largest frame vehicle. You got that largest frame, which means you're going to have the same comfort and get the high miles of even the cars today that are on the road. The small little sardine can types are are getting gas mileage that this one will double, and it will be a full-size car if Volvo had been allowed to continue and make it a complete Tesla unit.
I'd like to see that. So thank you very much, Jeff, for your time on this, and let's hope that more people start thinking in terms of this great technology with Tesla turbines.
Well, thanks very much for your exposure here. Everyone should know that there are alternatives and that we don't have to be running around in these polluting vehicles. We can have what's really good and what's really right we should have.
It's a good thought to leave us with.